Yeah. Hello, internet.
That's enough silence for you, Alan.
That's my neighbor with his weed whacker. I can't turn that off.
Yeah, whatever.
Sure you can. You have an FAL.
I do have an FAL.
Reach out and touch it.
Bang! I heard a loud banging and stopped working.
At this range, I'd probably use the Mossberg.
This is the first time we've all been on the show in like forever.
A while.
Yes.
It feels weird.
It's been almost a month, actually.
Yeah.
Were people becoming concerned?
I think so.
Like did the band break up or something?
I don't think anybody was fucking concerned.
No. You know, it's funny. You know how some shows and some podcasts have this like really great listener interaction, and you know, people sending emails and all this kind of stuff. And we must have our listeners must be the biggest introverts on the planet because we get nothing. Nothing. The closest we get is on the group on Facebook. If you haven't joined the group, join the damn group on Facebook.
Well, I wanted to mention about the group on Facebook, because we have the Squirrel Report page, which is a separate thing from the Squirrel Report group on Facebook. The Squirrel Report group on Facebook is actually SQRPT.
Right.
So you can't type in Squirrel Report and then think that's the page, because it's not. You have look for SQRPT and then ask to join the group, because it's a private group. We reserve the right to kick anybody's ass out.
Right.
You annoy us.
Wait, we can do that?
Yes.
Totally. Oh, you cannot kick me out, however.
Yeah. Brita's the boss of the group.
Yeah, I kind of
like I dare.
But people like our Facebook page, the Squirrel Report Facebook page, and thank you so much for liking our Facebook page. But it is not the group. You have to search for SQRPT, and it has our little logo, and you have to ask to join the group, and we will probably approve you. And unless you're like some sketchy guy from Nigeria,
or a hobo,
not today, ISIS.
Yeah, exactly. Not today, ISIS.
You're a hobo.
But that's the difference. So I think maybe some people have been confused about it, but it's two separate things.
I've actually been thinking about deleting the Facebook page.
No. It's fine.
You don't see the spam that I get from Facebook over that damn thing.
It's because she doesn't need to enlarge her penis.
But it's, you know, every time the show gets, you know, posted, like, you know, once a week, I get these emails from Facebook harassing me to, you know, somebody looked at your page, you should promote it.
Oh, I get those for the library website.
That's crazy.
Or the library Facebook page. Yeah, it's
like, I want a setting that's like, Facebook, this will never happen, please stop.
Yes, I'm not paying money for this Facebook. Stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You already get enough out of me. You're not getting more. So.
So anyway, how is everybody?
I'm okay. Tired.
Yeah, I'm tired too, man.
I'm too tired to go get bourbon.
Oh, no.
What?
That's tired. That's I'm tired. Tired.
Don't you have kids? Have you not taught them how to pour correctly?
I have the store.
I actually have had my daughter mix me drinks.
Oh, stop. Oh my God.
That's awesome.
It was not my idea. Can she mix it? So I poured all the ingredients into the jigger and she poured them into the shaker. And then she closed up the shaker instead of shaking
it. You racist.
And it's a common piece of bartending equipment, Jay.
Next thing you know, you got to tell me you spend your money niggardly.
No. Doesn't that mean cowardly?
No.
No.
It means parsimoniously.
Oh.
I don't know what that word means either.
Well played, Alan. Well played. Cheese pairing? I've never heard that.
What?
It's a synonym for niggardly. Cheap, mean, miserly, parsimonious, close-fisted, penny-pinching, cheese-paring. What?
Cheese-paring?
I've never heard that.
Yeah, I've heard cheese-paring, and it means that you pair a cheese with either a wine or a food. Like a very sharp cheddar with a Granny Smith apple. Spectacular.
Yes.
Ooh, or like a gala or a pink lady with some gorgonzola.
I've always been afraid of
actually gorgonzola. Mandarin oranges and gorgonzola. That is spectacular.
Pretty much any fruit with gorgonzola is okay by me.
Yeah, I mean gorgonzola is pretty much awesome no matter what.
It's just an excuse to have gorgonzola.
Yeah,
really, because like I feel bad putting. Like just eating gorgonzola by itself, I feel bad. Like I feel like oh, I should be doing something.
Well, I don't. I fucking do it. Especially if there's one of those little like cheese boards at a party or something like that, and there's some nice big hunks of gorgonzola on there. Sometimes I'll put them on a cracker. So, but unless they're really good crackers, I won't fucking bother.
Use the cracker to hold the cheese.
I'm not gonna put like gorgonzola on like a Ritz or a Triscuit. Fuck that shit.
If they got artisanal cheese.
If they've got some really, cracker. If they got some of those really fancy crackers and like maybe some roasted garlic or something on it or all that, okay, I'll play with that. But I'm not going to put it on the crackers that like my daughter eats and then packs into the carpet.
I was trying to think of the last time I went to an actual party where people had stuff like that.
They had snacks.
It's been like 30 years.
Oh, Alan. Oh, God.
Since Alan was in his 50s. Yeah,
I think I went to one and I was like, nope, never again.
I had to make small talk. Oh, no. Yeah,
that ain't happening.
Work put up cheese boards for like the little like Christmas thing. Where they just set up in the cafeteria some cheese boards and some cookies and some random stuff. And I mean you wouldn't be
boarded? Is that like waterboarding?
Yes. Exactly.
Like only tastier.
And stinky.
Well, I've got a little bit of housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
Okay.
You know, I mentioned before that we don't get a lot of interaction from our listeners, but we do get some. And we recently had several different comments from people. They're like, "Man, y'all really interrupt each other a lot." So, I think if I had to name suspects, I think Breed is the least. I don't think Breed has ever interrupted anyone.
I'm looking at nail polish swatches.
Yeah. Jay's probably next, then maybe me, and then Weird. Does that sound right?
Maybe.
So if I got to correct on the worst offender, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So by the way, that works in the score report and everything else as I interrupt you.
In real life.
So we're going to create like a squirrel report safe word.
Banana.
Fuck me harder.
No.
No, not that. Oh, jeez.
It'll be we'll just use topic. So if somebody interrupts and goes off on some rat hole that has nothing to do with what the person that initiated the topic is trying to convey, then it's like the gong show. Everybody, anybody is free to say, yell, topic, and whoever's yapping has to stop.
I think that's good.
We were talking about this, and I don't know if were you being silly when you said we need a safe word, Alan?
No.
Or were you being serious?
Yeah, I was kind of serious.
Okay, because I thought you were being silly, but I'm like, oh, no. My wife has about half a dozen safe words.
Look, what you do in your bedroom is your own business.
And none of them are in the bedroom.
So she has safe words for just talking to you?
Yes. just talking to me or talking to me in amongst company as not to make a scene.
Oops.
Oh, so you don't register the look, do you? The wife look. You don't
register. Not when I'm going on full rant, because that usually means, especially like if I'm out in company, because usually that means I'm talking to other people. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not looking at my wife.
So anyway, so it's, you know, like I said, it's like the Gong Show. If for everybody that doesn't know what the hell I'm talking about, go Google YouTube.
Has anybody search. Besides Alan seen the Gong Show?
I have.
YouTube search kids, for the Gong ask Show. Your parents. Yeah. Kids, ask your parents.
There's a very famous popsicle.
Yeah, there is.
if you haven't seen it, you should probably Google it. Because it's like legendary. And everybody's Googling now, right?
Yep.
Popsicle Gong Show.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a kid watching Howie Mandel blow up the glove on his head on the Gong Show.
Really?
He was a nobody. He was an absolute nobody.
Well, I think didn't he like stop blowing up the glove on his head when he like when he was stopped being a nobody?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I remember like seeing like him do a stand-up thing and he blew up a glove on his head. And this was when he was a household name and not just the voice actor for Gizmo the Gremlin. And he blew the glove up on his head, but he made a huge thing of it. It wasn't just him being goofy, he made a huge thing about it because it was one of those. He was kind of doing an encore.
One of his greatest hits.
Yeah. And I that was like the first time I'd ever really seen him do it.
Mm.
But I'd kind of heard of it.
Yeah. He did that. That was like his first big trick. And I saw him, he did it on the Gong Show. The guy that was like the MC of the Gong Show was a really crazy guy. I don't even remember his name.
But he had, I remember these, exactly what he looks like.
Yeah, he had all these weird stories about how he was like a CIA Chuck agent. Harris. Chuck, yeah, that was it. He was like some kind of like spy or something like that. And I mean, it was just the dude was like crazy, and he was always, you know, like really like drunk or completely.
He seemed pretty wasted all the time.
Yeah, he seemed like he was always, you know, did, you know, like three or four lines of coke before he came out. I mean, it was just, you know, it was during the 70s. It was one of those, you know, anyway.
Oh, there it is. I found it. That's I had seen, I didn't realize it was Howie Mandel because you can't recognize him on the cover, but my cousin had the whatever the comedy album was where he's got the glove blown up on his head. Evidently it's called Fits Like a Glove.
That pre-OJ.
it was definitely
what you pre-OJ. Did there. I see it.
Especially since I'm pretty sure Howie Mandel was back to being a nobody once OJ was on trial.
Oh yeah. So anyway, the way the Gong Show worked is they had all of these, it was like amateur hour. You know, like it was kind of like an open mic amateur hour thing. And they'd have these people come on and they'd start doing some talent thing. And you had, you know, like three people, I think, that were sitting there like judges. And at any point, yeah, celebrity judges and celebrity like has-beens.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this was. So at any point, if it was like a combination of talent show and bull riding. So, you know, you had a certain amount, they had a certain amount of time to do their little act. And if they ran out the clock without anybody hitting the gong, they won something like, a gift certificate or whatever the hell it was. And
ceramic Dalmatian.
Yeah. And if their act was so bad, one of the three judges couldn't stand it, they'd get up and bash this gong with a hammer and that would be the end of it. So.
Well, there.
Now it's been entirely too much time.
The Gong Show concept to the millennials.
That's right. Since we have four people, we'll have three judges of whoever's not talking. Feel free to yell. topic anytime somebody
feel free to gong weird is what you're saying.
Or me, or you know, whoever else.
I concur with this. This and
if,
sounds like
fun. And if it happens, everybody has to drink. Basically, you have to chug whatever it is you're drinking.
Water?
Whatever.
I may not make it through the show without having
a pee. Your trick is you not, can't pee.
Not you, but you know.
After my evening, again, it is water, because if I had a glass of whiskey, I might fall asleep in my chair.
Whoops.
Oh, that was a sassy little girl.
Uh-oh.
Fought me every step of the way into bed.
Maybe she needs the whiskey.
Yeah, there you go. Give her a shot before bed.
He's tempted. I can hear it. He's tempted.
He's thinking about
it. No comment. I'd like to speak to my lawyer.
When does she start school?
In like a couple of years.
What?
She's not even four yet.
Oh, Jesus.
She's not in preschool?
Mm-hmm. Still in preschool.
Yeah. My mom actually had me in preschool for 2 years. She started me in preschool when I was three because she could not stand having me at home all day. Because
I don't know how long I was in preschool.
I didn't take naps. I stopped napping at two. And so I wake up in the morning and need to be entertained all day. And my mom was like, okay, when is the earliest I can get her into preschool? So I had preschool for 2 years so that my mom could at least have like a couple hours break during the day from Rita, who is, I don't know. I was like a really inquisitive, talky, you know, entertain me, let's do stuff kind of kid.
Rita, you
know, what happened?
I was also in preschool for 2 years.
See? Maybe it's like a smart kid thing. Like, you know, you have to have like stimulation or something.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I was too. Because I remember going, I went to this one preschool and then I went to the other one that was like a pre-K.
Mm-hmm.
And then kindergarten at.
Right.
What, five? So, yeah.
And then at six, he was in the core.
Yeah.
The old core.
That's right.
It's not like the new core.
Damn.
What?
The old
core. It's core.
That's right.
What's the difference?
He was killing Guatemalans with a potato digger during the banana wars.
The difference is about 20 years.
Oh, okay. Is this about women?
No. It's the Marine Corps. Everybody that was in the Marine Corps, no matter when you were in it, you know, when you were, if it's been a certain amount of time since you were in it, it's the old core. And it's always better than the way the new idiots are doing things. See.
It's not parkour.
We didn't do this pussy ass shit in the old core.
Oh my God. So what, like uphill both ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
What was the real manly, hairy chested shit that you did in the core that they don't do anymore?
Actually, you know, honestly, I don't know, because by the time I was in, it was all very, clinical, I guess.
They weren't allowed to kill recruits. Anymore.
Right. They couldn't, you know, they couldn't kill you on purpose. They still died, but it wasn't intentional. So, yeah, there was no, they weren't, you know, I was in the early 80s and they weren't, you know, the drill instructors weren't allowed to like touch you or hit you or anything like that. So, they could yell at you all they wanted to. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought they could beat you to death.
No. That was the really Twice. Old core. That was like back in the '60s and fifties. And so
Alan,
Jay,
did you invade Grenada?
No,
I did not. Did you kill Guatemalans
actually,
with a potato digger?
When I was in, it was kind of weird, and in a way I feel bad, in a way I'm kind of happy, because my time in the Marine Corps was literally nothing happened at all anywhere. It was the you know, pre-fall of the Soviet Union, so you know, the U.S. wasn't going off all around the world. It was, you know, post-Vietnam, pre-fall of communism. So, you know, we weren't, you know, starting wars all over the world and all that kind of stuff, because we were still worried about what the Russians would do. So, it was a time of peace. Unlike now, where we've been in the longest war in the history of the United States.
Is it the longest?
Yep. Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Well, there we go.
Yeah, but the Canadians are helping us out now.
Well, we're saved.
Yeah, but they're dropping Hajis from 2 miles out.
Yeah.
That's true. That's but they're also dropping Hajis across our border to stab our cops. I sent out an email there going, I kind of want to talk about this terrorism in Europe, but so far there isn't really anything here during the Trump administration. And then a Canadian who happens just by chance to be a member of the Religion of Peace stabs a cop in the neck while saying Aloha Snack Bar.
We'll never know his motives.
That's right.
We'll never know his motives. Well, wait, no, I think they took him alive, didn't they?
Yeah,
I think you're right.
They're not going to ever let him talk about what his motives are, though.
No, that's true.
So we're not going to know.
We may never know.
But yeah. But I don't know. I'm still surprised that Europe is, oh my goodness, there's just one after another, after another, after another. And oh yes, one of them was a pissed off white dude who wanted to kill some Muslims. And hey, guess what? That's called the exception that proves the rule.
Europe's a lot different from the US though.
A lot different. They have no smoking signs on the front of their marijuana bars.
Well, they also have, you gotta remember the EU is like an artificial creation that's in the middle of destroying itself.
Mm-hmm.
They have no common anything. And they all still kind of hate each other.
That's not entirely true, Alan. They're all convinced they're morally superior to the United States.
Well, yeah, they've always been that. They've always been wrong, but.
Oh, yeah.
They also have easier access. I mean, it's not that easy to get to the US like it is Europe. I mean, if you're dedicated,
I've always gotten here plenty easy.
Yeah, but if you're a dedicated terrorist, you can walk to Europe.
Well, not only that, but they have those passes.
Oh yeah.
Where you can just travel the trains wherever you want to go in the EU. So it's like an EU thing. You can just pass by borders.
Right. And it's a lot more difficult to do that in the US.
Yeah. Thank God.
It's hard to get here. You can't get on a boat anymore because there's no passenger boats to the US, which means you got to get on a plane, and being a jihadi and getting on a plane is kind of tough.
Are there no passenger boats anymore?
No.
I mean, there's cruise ships.
Yeah, but they don't provide passenger service. You can't get on a cruise ship in Europe and then get off of it in the US and go, okay, see ya.
You sure?
Yeah. The cruise ships go out and then they come back to the same place they left.
Not all the time. Cause they sometimes have the transatlantic crossings.
Yeah, but they're not
where they're shifting the boat to a different, to a different line or a different.
Yeah, but they're not like, remember like the old White Star Line, like the Titanic and stuff. I mean, those were regularly scheduled passenger ships. You know, you pay your, third class ticket and go climb down in the bottom of the ship and bounce around till you pass the Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now you gotta scrape together enough money to buy an airplane ticket, have a passport that's accepted in the US, get a visa, pass through, security checkpoints. I mean, it's not impossible, but it's certainly a lot more difficult. I think that more than anything else is why we haven't seen a lot of that kind of thing here. That's why we see more homegrown kind of terrorist people here.
We did see we saw a bunch during the Obama administration. I mean, that was the big thing that got me is I'm hardly a huge fan of Trump or Bush, but after September 11th, there was nothing under Bush's watch on American soil. And with the exception of this Canadian guy, there's been nothing under Trump's watch.
Yeah, but he's only been in office for 6 months.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. But meanwhile, there's been what, 15 attacks in Europe?
Yeah.
Which is a landmass smaller than the United States.
Yep.
But then Obama had how many different terrorist attacks?
Oh, yeah.
A bunch. No, none, because they were all workplace violence.
That's true. That is true.
None. I'm actually surprised that nothing has happened in places like Dearborn, Michigan, where there is a huge population of Muslims that are American citizens because they were born there. But I mean, you drive down certain streets in Dearborn and all the signs are in Arabic and it's like a Muslim community. And I can only imagine that, you know, in the mosque, there has to be like some radical imams, like, you know, but nothing has happened.
Well, that's a big thing you hear about, like in a lot of places in Europe, is there are just these enclaves within the major cities that are Middle Eastern, you know, Middle Eastern immigrants and their families that have just essentially completely isolated themselves from their surroundings.
You know, I say that nothing has happened, except I'm wrong, because they are, you know, have been working to mutilate little girls' genitalia like mad up in Michigan.
Yes, they have.
So you have that, but like as far as like any sort of jihadi thing going on, nothing so far. Which I find interesting. I have always expected something to come out of Michigan, but nothing ever really has.
Well, maybe, Brady, you're just going to jinx us just like me with the, you know, there hasn't been a terrorist attack under Trump's thing. Damn. And then like it was probably happening while I was typing that email that this cop was getting stabbed in the throat. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, the guy with the knife, wasn't that in Michigan?
Was it?
Was, but not Dearborn. And he's not from Dearborn. He was from Ottawa, I think.
Yeah. Oh.
They're just doing the jobs Americans won't do.
It's true.
So...
Can we talk about Mr. Pajama Man getting his ass handed to him in Georgia?
This is going to be
a mandate against Trump.
Yes.
He does look like the pajama boy.
Yeah, he does.
Yep.
Ah.
Yeah, I like how it was back when they were still reporting the skewed polling as news and this guy was like the next shoe-in by 6 points or more.
The next Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and it was going to be a referendum on Trump. It's a referendum on Trump. Man, the minute he lost, you didn't hear a peep about a referendum on Trump.
And how much did he lose by?
5 points.
It was like it wasn't 5% percentage point.
No, no, no.
It was handily.
Yeah.
And he was outspent, what, 5-1, 7-1?
At least. I heard he raised like $60 million. He didn't spend that much. He's got a big pile of money now.
Yeah.
Funny how that works, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just ask Bernie Sanders.
Uh-huh. That's right.
But, yeah, all I got to say is, look, I'm not a misogynist, but in this case, I'm glad the girl lost. Oh my God. Just go and just find, like, go, what is his name again?
Ossoff.
Yeah. Yeah, John Ossoff.
Awesome.
Just type in John Ossoff into Google Images and just click on the Images tab and just scroll down to see the photographs in the debate and just leave it at that.
Is it true he proposed to his girlfriend after he lost?
No, during the campaign.
During the campaign.
Yeah, because
they shacked up for 12 years and he had no intention of marrying her until...
Until it came out
in the campaign as a contentious issue. Oh, you're trying to represent Georgia and you've been living with this woman for 12 years and hadn't done anything. What's wrong with you, boy? And then he proposed to her.
Wow, what's wrong with her?
So now he's...
Well, evidently she's into checks.
Oh, weird.
Oh. Apparently he doesn't own a razor, or maybe he was told that the 5 o'clock shadow made him look male.
Yeah.
If it
doesn't help. He can grow a beard down to his knees and he still looks like Rachel Maddow.
He looks like one of those guys from the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. Well, specifically looks like Sheldon. Like he looks exactly like Sheldon.
The love child of Sheldon and Kramer.
Yes. Oh my God.
If their DNA were put in a blender and then cloned into a sheep, you'd have John Ossoff.
But all of it's Kramer's body type with all of Sheldon's like soft features.
He can't wear a suit either.
No.
Oh my God. I mean, it's like, it's ridiculously comical.
It looks like he's wearing his dad's suit.
Yeah. He looks like my son putting on my suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, he was just shacked up with his girlfriend, had no intention of doing anything serious with her, had no intention of living within the district.
He didn't win. Of course not. And now he's on the hook to marry this girl.
He couldn't even bother to get an apartment during the campaign in the district. He literally didn't care. And they would ask him about it. He'd be like, my voters don't care about that.
I'll address it after I win.
And the big problem was that his voters all lived in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, the San Francisco people can't vote in Georgia.
Oh, I'll bet they did.
Oh, I'm sure to some extent, but it was also a rainy day. So it's even hard. It's hard enough when it's raining to get a Democrat layabout to go out and vote once, let alone 15 times.
Because even the weather is racist.
It's true. No, that's not true. I guarantee plenty of the voter fraud people are of every race and color known to man. They just need a pulse. But yeah, nope. The big talk of they keep saying, there's been five of these special elections now?
Yeah.
But a bunch of them. And every
one of them was a referendum on Trump until the Republican wins.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, no, it didn't matter.
Yep.
No.
Even like the Montana one where the guy was charged with assault just before the election.
Oh yeah, he still won.
Successfully charged with assault. He did commit assault. Like that was a no contest whatsoever, and he still kicked the shit out of his opponent.
Well, you know, it's funny. You see headlines and things like that after the Georgia election that were like, you know, something like Republicans eke out a win or stuff like that, and that are kind of disparaging, like you almost didn't make it and. Yeah, it's not a mandate because it's such a close race and all this other stuff. But imagine what is her name?
Who?
The Georgia 6 GOP handle, right. If she had lost, she won by 5 points, but imagine if she had lost by 1%.
Yeah.
It would have been a landslide rebuttal of Trump's policies.
Whole-scale refutation of Donald Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the reason why they've been dumping so much money into these. Because all of these races, not this one, I think this one broke like a record for a congressional race. Most
most expensive congressional loss in the history of
it. Yeah. And highest number of celebrity endorsements.
Right. Because Handel didn't raise that much money and didn't actually spend that much money.
Yep.
It was all liberals
should be celebrating the win. I mean, it's like a woman breaking the glass ceiling, right?
Oh no.
And the redistribution of wealth.
It was like the first woman elected in Georgia, right?
Yes.
So woohoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's not a real woman.
Right. She doesn't count.
Right.
But the big thing, and of course, I mean, so first up, it's Democrats are the ones that are all about this like campaign finance reform, and we've got to get big money out of Congress, out of elections and all that stuff, because they honestly believe that you can essentially buy votes, that the majority, I mean, and maybe it's true for Democrats, is that literally people are going to be sitting in front of their TV, picking their belly button, and they're going to see an advertisement on election day and go, oh, I guess that's the one I'm going to vote for.
Oh, no. You know what it is? Think about it. If you get money out of policy, probably 90% of the money in politics goes toward buying ads on TV, radio, and stuff like that. You limit that, and where are people going to get all their information for the election?
The internet.
The news.
Ooh. Ooh. I see.
That's why the Democrats want to have campaign finance reform, and they want to limit campaign contributions and they want to limit campaign spending, because the so-called objective media will be the ones that control all the information to the voters.
Yeah, that won't work out well for them either, but they can try.
They think it will.
But again, they just go and throw money at the problem and just expect that to like be enough.
But and that's what course, they do for everything.
Yeah. But so now they're throwing piles of money at these elections because they just need to win one so they can start saying that like Donald Trump did beat Hillary Clinton, yes, but he's just completely poisoned the well, and now the midterms are just going to be a bloodbath for the Republicans. And the Republicans are just kind of making a showing. They're just plugging along and doing it while the Democrats are just going all in, all in, all in, because they want to put a win up on the board just so they can break that losing streak. And like they haven't even done one. That's pretty impressive. Like not even one.
Well, all the elections so far have been in Republican districts.
Well, the Georgia one was a fairly purple district.
Yeah, but it was
still it was not a blue district, that's for sure, but it was pretty purple from what I've read.
Well, it still went for Trump in the election. And it was pretty solid. I mean, the guy that was the representative, that the reason they were having an election is because Trump appointed the Republican guy to one of his, you know, cabinet positions. So, you know, this was a Republican, you know, replacing a Republican. So, I mean, they haven't had, you know, of course, you know, eventually the Democrats will win an election, but it'll be in a Democrat district.
Right.
And they'll play it up. But it won't mean as much because it's a Democrat. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, it's like, you know, there'll be like an election in San Francisco or something, and everybody will go, well, of course.
Yep.
They really wanted to win one in the enemy camp.
They did.
But they can't, you know, apparently money can't buy an election.
But you know what? If they talk more about Russian collusion, eventually the people will wake up and realize that the Russians, in a diabolical scheme to do insert plot line here.
Yeah. Of course it was the Russians. You're talking about Georgia.
Well, ooh.
You know, it's funny.
That joke. Break.
it's funny that, you know, the Republicans, not the, Democrats, they're always, you know, they're accusing of the Russians, they're accusing the Russians of meddling in the election, but the Democrats have spent the last 8 years meddling in elections all over the world.
Uh-huh.
So again, it's a case of projection.
Not to mention Obama's exhortation that wait until after the election when I'll have more flexibility. Nobody cared then.
Right. Collusion with the Russians.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And yeah. Well,
to be fair, nobody cares now. Just the Democrats are making a whole lot of noise of it because they've got to say something because they can't say, well, we nominated like just a straight up gangster with absolutely no personality, and oddly enough, like they can't do what the Republicans did after Bob Dole, and go, yeah, that was a really bad idea. Sorry, America, that was pretty stupid.
Well, and then they gave us Mitt Romney, so yeah, they could
after John McCain.
Yes.
So I'm not saying that the Republicans are brilliant, but. At least they never pointed out to say like, oh no, there was sunspots.
The swamp gas.
Exactly. Like it was a weather balloon that Mitt Romney and John McCain lost. It was not because they were entirely unlikable, squishy, weird Republicans. So yeah.
Yeah.
Sabrina.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about man spreading?
I do. Yes, I want to talk about man spreading, and I also want to talk about meat.
All right. First, before we get going,
are they related?
Yes.
I just mentioned something really quick, and it's not going to be too deep, but like I said a little earlier, and I'm doing a segue completely backwards. I'm introducing the topic, and now I'm introducing the segue, and we're going to go back into the topic. Was that a few months ago, my wife was in Amsterdam and she did take a tour around. I don't know if there's an area or whatever, but she did walk down a location with the coffee houses where you can buy yourself some weed.
Right.
And there literally were signs on the door that said no smoking.
Oh.
And if you walked inside of these coffee houses, you could hang bacon inside. They were completely socked in smoke.
So you can't smoke outside, bacon. But you can smoke inside. No, you can't
smoke cigarettes inside.
Oh, so you can smoke all the pot you want, but no cigarettes.
Yeah. Like at first, when I saw her point out, was showing me pictures of the trip. I go, oh, so they're only doing like, you can only like do the vape, the oil or eat the edibles and stuff like that. She goes, no. No, people were smoking inside like crazy. You just can't smoke cigarettes in there.
Wow.
And that
is so crazy.
And well, it's not because we've got, I mean, this has been our, like, over the last like 20 years, we have been working so hard to make cigarettes more and more illegal and yet make marijuana more and more legal. And so. Yeah, no. Like, yeah, no. You can't smoke cigarettes, but you can smoke that weed because that's totally a different thing.
It's totes fun.
But crazy. That leads me to another sign. See, segue. Look it up.
Segue
is that in Madrid now? I think it was Madrid.
Yes, it was.
The Madrid. Trains have signs that say no man spreading. And man spreading being the act of a man sitting with his legs apart.
As a man must.
As a man must.
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. I asked Mike about this before the show because I said, I think we're going to be talking about man spreading. I just don't understand. So it is physically uncomfortable for you to sit with your knees together in a chair. Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
And this is because
It's external.
It squeezes your junk. Yes.
Yep.
It rises to the top like cream, and if you're wearing jeans, it hurts.
Yeah, if you're wearing any kind of restrictive pants, it can be physically painful. Oh! Yep.
And really, otherwise.
No. Let's go back to the rises to the top like cream. Let's discuss that.
I think we do need to discuss that because I have no fucking clue what Jay's talking about.
Well, things get squeezed.
Squeezed?
I think that's what Jay was referring to.
Yes, exactly. They tend to pop up.
Yeah. Squeezed upward.
Pop up or pop down or split in the middle, which is even worse.
Split in the middle.
What? Yeah.
Well, one goes one way and the other goes the other way. And you're like, ah!
That's true.
Telling you.
Ain't Boy, no you fun. Guys have, like, you guys have the, like, weirdest anatomy. Like, I can never get over it. Like, I'm like, it's just baffling to me. How was this good design? I don't know. Let me just put that out there.
Well, apparently it was biologically successful.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so.
So
you need to keep the balls outside because the sperm need a lower body temperature. That's just the only. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in human anatomy, like the number of. I mean, look at all the tropes. I mean, my wife was mentioning the fact that look in all the Disney movies, the mommy's dead.
Yeah.
And,
it's true.
Yeah. And it goes with all sorts of, like, you know, Victorian literature, all these old literature and all that. Mommy being dead.
It was very common.
Frequently, mommy dying during childbirth was super duper common.
Yep.
And it really isn't until you get to, like, pretty goddamn modern medicine that you can actually alleviate most of that. And even still then, you know, evidently my sister-in-law got pretty close to bleeding out when she had her daughter.
It's still the most dangerous thing that most women do.
Yeah.
I like cats.
That's true. But the big reason for that is because we switched from being quadrupeds to bipeds.
Yep.
Is when you are in that, you know, downward, you know, all fours position, and it gives a lot more room for the child to be born. But if you've got to move the pelvis around enough to support an upright gait, it changes that. Thankfully, yeah. It didn't change it so much that we became extinct.
Combined with the giant head.
Yeah, there might have been some lines that did that.
I'm sure there were.
Yeah, I mean it's not even with a giant head, because that's the reason why a horse is up and running around within hours of being born. Yet children are, you know, 9, 10, 12 months old before they're up and walking around, is because we literally drop them way early.
Hmm. So every human's premature.
Every human is premature, because otherwise, think about it.
That explains a lot of infant mortality.
Yeah.
We're like kangaroos.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Without the pouch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Very much so.
Back to the pelvis thing. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about man spreading and related to the pelvis, because there are, you know, there's huge differences between female pelvis and male pelvis.
Yep.
And for instance, like if I go to the gym and I need to stretch kind of like my back butt hamstring area, what I do is I put my feet together, I bend my knees, and I kind of like squat down with my feet together. Mm-hmm. And it kind of stretches out that whole area. And Mike had pulled a muscle, and I showed him. I said, you know, you should probably do this stretch. And I showed him how to do it. And he's like, I can't do it.
Yeah,
He literally could not do it because of, I guess, the pelvis, you know, organization or something. Like if you put your feet together and try to squat down, men can't do it. And there's that whole trick where like a woman can stand against a wall with her heels against the wall and then bend down and touch the floor, but a man can't do it because of his pelvis. And men, like, you put your feet together and you put your heels against the wall,
you fall over.
a man will fall over, but a woman will not.
It's just because I'm clumsy.
No, it's not, Jay. It's because your pelvis is different. So I'm thinking that also might have part of the reason why manspreading is a thing. You guys like can't do it because of your pelvis.
What about mansplaining?
I can't.
Oh, well, that is a whole different thing.
I will say, Rita,
that's when a man tells a woman something she ought to
do. Thank you, Jay.
Nice, Jay.
Oh. Terrible.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I thought mansplaining was when a woman is dumb as shit and doesn't know and understand stuff, and you're trying to help her out, and she just gets irritated that you're pointing out that she's an idiot.
No.
Sometimes that.
By the way, for our English friends, that was Weird Beard, not me.
I see it as kind of, you're absolutely correct that there is the mansplaining thing that is absolutely a real thing, but I feel like mansplaining's kind of gone the way of Godwin's law.
Godwin's
law originally was just the way of just saying, look, let's abandon this. It's this discussion has gone all the way down to Nazis. Now is the time to end the discussion. Yeah. Instead, it has been, if anyone brings up the Third Reich and any of its policies or anything like that, it's automatically time to yell Godwin's law and walk away from the discussion.
Even if it's relevant.
Yeah, even if it's relevant, like if you're pointing out the fact that gun control, one of the first things the Third Reich did was make sure that that the Jews were completely and utterly disarmed. Godwin's law, can't talk about it.
But it's okay. It's okay to punch Nazis now, so we're good.
Mansplaining does exist. I get it a lot at work. People like men will come up and, you know, I have to look up things in, you know, a library catalog database thing, right? Sometimes it takes time for me to find things because it's, you know, it's a database. Things are put in kind of not under the subject that you would think they're put in under, or they're organized wrong. You know, it's sometimes it just takes time, right? So, and it's always men who will try to tell me how to do my job that I've been doing for over 15 years now. And they, you know, they try to coach me in how to use the library catalog. I'm like, really?
You know,
yeah.
Do just...
So, but yeah, I shush them. That's what I do.
No, I'd hand him the keyboard and go on a smoke break.
Here, go ahead. Try to,
cool.
Try to
I'm sorry. I don't know anything that I'm doing. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
That's the father of a 3-year-old right there.
I'm just the emerging technologies librarian.
That was my daughter was fussing about not liking how dinner was going, so I picked her up and put her in her room. So go to bed.
Whoops.
Yeah, that was not what she expected.
That was my parents' tactic, actually, when I wouldn't eat my dinner.
That's what I did.
It was, well, you're not eating, so you must be sick, and if you're sick, you need to go to bed.
Yep,
brought her upstairs and went to bed. She says, no, I'm hungry. I said, okay. Well, but guess what? You have to stay in your room till you stop crying, because I don't want to listen to that. And it worked.
Sure. Consequences.
Consequences.
Can I talk about meat now?
Yes.
Let us talk about meat.
Because I had like, it's 8:57.
We have time.
There's 3 minutes. Are you going to come in? Meat quickly.
It's not like we're going to hang up.
So don't worry, Rita. The union foreman's not gonna chastise you for going overtime.
So I had like a meat adventure this past weekend. It was kind of like that. I mean, it was that good that it probably deserves that sound. So
did you go to a Brazilian steakhouse, Rita?
I did not. I smoked my own meat.
Oh.
Now, anybody who follows me on social media knows that I have been obsessed with this rib at Black's Barbecue in Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, there's pictures and you've all seen it. Anyway, so Alan, bless him, he drove me to Black's and I had the rib and it was transcendental meat experience. I mean, it was, I can't express how good it was. And so, of course, you know, I've been thinking about how do I do that rib and can I do that rib myself and what cut of meat is that rib and what do I do? And so we had a house guest over the weekend, this past weekend, and I decided, okay, so we're just going to smoke a lot of meat and we'll just have meat to eat with various sides or whatever. So,
oh, the horror.
Oh, the horror. So I was looking online and I decided I'm going to smoke chuck roasts. And if you go online, you read about smoking chuck roasts, and you know how chuck roasts get like that tender, pull apart kind of really soft, luscious meat because it's so well marbled, has a lot of connective tissue. Like if you do it in the crock pot, it just falls apart, right? So if you do it in the smoker, it's very similar. And one of the benefits is you get all the flavor and all the goodness of, like, let's say smoked brisket that you could get like at a barbecue place in Texas, except it's way easier to cook in a smoker and a lot cheaper, like a lot cheaper. So I went to my butcher and I was going to get two big chuck roasts and some other stuff at the butcher. And so I got that and I was checking out and all of a sudden in my head, I was like, wait a minute, I'm at the butcher shop. Why don't I ask about the rib? And so I go to the butcher guy and I said, can I ask you a question? And he said, sure. What's going on? And I go there all the time, so they kind of know me. And I always ask for weird shit. Like, I'm like, can you give me a tongue? Can you get, you know, weird stuff. So I showed him a picture. I had the picture on my phone of me eating the big rib in Lockhart, Texas at Black's Barbecue. And I showed him the picture of the rib. And I said, I've had this barbecue in Texas and it's a giant beef rib. And I said, I'm running the smoker this weekend. I'm putting the chuck roast on the smoker, but do you know what this rib is? And he took a look at the picture. He's like, oh yeah. He's like, I know what that is. He's like, let me run in the back and get one for you. So he comes out and he has like a big slab of beef ribs. And what it is the, I think it's called beef plate ribs. Mm-hmm. And it's from underneath and it's what they make short ribs out of before they cut the short ribs. And so, he had a big kind of rack of beef ribs and one end had more meat on top of the bone than the other end. And he said, well, he's like, this is what you want. He said, what end do you want? Do you want more meat or less meat? I said, of course, more meat.
Duh. Did you say duh? That's
no, I did said. Not. So I just wanted one of these ribs. And he said, okay. And, you know, I said to him, I said, I've never done this before. I'm just kind of doing an experiment on the smoker. And so he cut me one of the ribs and he weighed it. And I don't know how much it cost, but he said, I'll give it to you for $10. Okay. It's a deal. So I had like this giant chunk of beef on a rib for $10. Deal. And so I brought it home and I just salt and peppered it. And I read up about it. And the thing with these ribs and with the chuck roast is very similar. You treat them very, very similarly. You smoke them up until they hit like 165. And then you wrap them in foil and maybe put them in a pan with some beef broth. And then you bring them up to temperature to like 190, 195. And
I've actually heard you can also just put them back in the smoker, but just all covered up and they'll essentially braise themselves because the little bit of moisture cooking out will stay in.
But the broth ensures it.
Mm-hmm.
So you bring them up to like 190, 195, and then you take them off, let them rest for a while to reabsorb the juices, whatever. And the rib just, it was not the same as Black's because I don't smoke with post oak and I don't have the whole same setup, but it was luscious. I mean, it was falling off the bone, gorgeous, fall apart meat. The chuck roasts were delightful also. So if anybody smokes meat, that is absolutely the way to go. If you want to do brisket, do a brisket, but it seems really fussy and like you have to really be good at it to do a brisket. Chuck roasts, they're like pretty easy and foolproof and just delicious. And so that cheap. was my That was my and cheap. So like if you screw it up, it's like not that bad. You know what I mean? It's not like buying like $40 worth of brisket and then you fuck it up and then you're, you know. So yeah, that was my meat adventure. It was great. Yay. Oh, and I also smoked eggs.
Ooh. How do you keep them lit?
Big rolling papers. I smoked some eggs and they take 2 hours in the smoker and they come out and they really didn't have that much like smoky flavor, but they were like, they came out, they were kind of like hard boiled eggs. They were good.
So you just throw put the eggs in the smoker and leave them in there for 2 hours?
Yep.
Huh.
They're good. Anyway, so there you go. That's my meat adventure for the week.
Well, there.
Sounds meaty.
It was meaty and delicious. We still have some in the fridge because there was so much left over. But the rib disappeared first. The rib, like I got one like chunk of it and the rest just disappeared. But the chuck roasts are really the way to go. It really was good and lasts a long time. And, you know.
You can also throw the chuck roast in the Instant Pot.
Yes.
I've done that.
I haven't used my Instant Pot in a while.
I got some, it was actually a kale spinach mix.
I'm sorry.
And
what the hell's wrong with you?
What? I like greens.
Kale.
Yeah, it's good.
All right, go
hipster.
On.
Did you drink your PBR with it?
Did you have an avocado toast?
Did you stab your hand?
But yeah, but the big thing is you can cook kale in like 3 minutes in the Instant Pot.
Yeah.
And that's pretty awesome.
And then you throw it out. Except
at the end, you still have kale.
Yeah, it doesn't turn into anything useful.
I like kale. Look, just, all right, maybe, I mean, it's Guinness. if you don't like spinach or anything like that, then I guess I can't help you. I mean, it is a green. I've always like loved spinach. And then when I suddenly discovered greens, I'm like, oh, this is really good. But the trick is you put the greens in the Instant Pot and then you put the greens in the Instant Pot and you just pack it full. Like at this point in time, and then you put half a cup of water in there. You don't need a full cup with the greens because, again, you cook so much water out of them. And then I put a little bit of olive oil over the top of them. A little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper, and a little bit of sugar.
Sugar, huh?
The sugar is the key thing. It cuts down on the bitterness just a little bit, and then let it go. It takes, I think, 3 or 4 minutes, and then you can also add like a, you know, if you got like a smoked turkey leg or a ham hock or something like that. Or also, I sometimes take those canned chipotle peppers, dice a little bit of that up in there if you want it a little smoky, spicy. But it only takes 4 minutes and it comes out like you've been doing it for like a couple hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I do collard greens in the Instant Pot and it takes longer than 3 minutes, but they're really good and tender and delicious.
Yeah. I like kale better than collard greens. Collard greens are really tough. They're kind of like eating a raincoat.
Not if you do them in the Instant Pot.
Yeah. But so I,
eating a raincoat.
Yeah. But I take them out and try to keep as much of the juice in there. And then I tossed in the chuck roast. I just put some, I put salt and pepper on the chuck roast. I should not have done that because I had salted the greens. It got way too salty.
Oh.
But so I should have just done pepper, a little bit of Worcestershire sauce, a little bit of soy sauce. And then I chopped up some onions and threw those on top. I think I threw in some peppers too. And then threw in like a half a cup of water, another half a cup of water, and then let that go for, I think it was like 20 minutes. But so use the liquid from the greens just to enhance the flavor of the meat. And then I made gravy.
Yum.
So yeah, is Instant Pot. They're fucking awesome.
Yes, they are. Oh, by the way, Brita, you'll be happy to know.
What? What?
Where is this?
Alan doesn't even remember anymore.
He had beaten out of him in the core.
Look, guys, we're going to have to talk about this after the show. So you guys stay on after Alan leaves. We got to talk about taking his car keys away.
The university.
He's going to park it in the beauty salon.
The University of Madrid, where they've outlawed manspreading, has created a robot that will iron your clothes for you.
I don't iron clothes.
Well, I'm just saying. I need
a robot that folds clothes.
There you go. Well,
that's what I need.
They have one of those.
Alan.
What?
What's the difference between skunk ape and wrinkled clothing?
What? Wrinkled clothing actually exists.
Skunk ape actually exists. My wife will say, "You can't wear that shirt. It's wrinkled." And I look down and I'm like, "It's a shirt."
Close enough.
What's wrong with this shirt?
Breathe a sigh. Drink.
I don't know. I just throw shit back in the dryer and hope, you know, it works the wrinkles out so I can wear it.
That's pretty much what I do. And if it's bad enough, I take it to the cleaners and have them press it. I know how to iron a shirt, but I don't want to.
My mom tried to teach me how to iron a shirt, and I took a shirt that I could see nothing wrong with in the first place, and then I put some wrinkles in it.
You just rub the iron on it until it's not wrinkled anymore.
Yeah, no, like, I just...
Is there
just,
a way to do it? I don't...
I just made a whole bunch of wrinkles permanent.
Oh, well. At least you're not naked.
Well, maybe.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm in my PJs. I'm not Alan. Alan's freeballing it.
Not right now.
Not freeballing it, Alan?
No. My daughter's here for the summer.
I gotcha. Yeah, well, good for you.
That'd be awkward.
There are people that do that.
She drove to Houston all by herself. In her car.
Alan was biting his nails the entire time.
No, what type of car is she driving?
It's a Lexus.
Ooh.
It's a very it's a
Will
very,
you adopt me, Alan?
It's a very old Lexus.
Alan, I think you should adopt me.
Is actually been totaled by the insurance company for hail because of hail damage. So
is it all golf balled?
Yeah, yeah. Does
that mean it flies further?
Yes, it does actually. It has better aerodynamics. So yeah. It's the perfect teen first car. It's a horrible piece of shit that you're embarrassed to drive. So,
well, that was like actually one of the jokes was the there was a one of the car shows that I watched was reviewing a Porsche is it the Cayman? What's the Boxster hardtop?
I don't know.
Jay not here. Jay's
we lose Jay.
He's probably going potty.
Oh shit! I had my mute on. Don't. Oh.
Now he finds his cough button. It's the Cayman's the Boxster hardtop, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, but they were talking about that and just
not the
saying
Cayenne. That's the ridiculous fucking. Yeah,
that's the Volkswagen. But yeah, the guy had a. I mean, they haven't been around that long, but it was, you know, a couple years old, Porsche Cayman. And he was talking about like people see him as a status symbol. And he's like, I didn't spend that much money on this. Like it's a used car.
Yeah.
And that specifically, since it's not like a 911, like they depreciate pretty quickly. So you can get one for fairly reasonable.
You can even get you can get 911s for pretty cheap if you know.
Yeah, but they got the light bars and the spotlight on them.
cop engine,
well, guys,
cop shots.
I think I need to go because we have a incoming ginormous storm.
Oh,
ooh. All right. The hatches or whatever.
Yeah, we got to
Breida,
do that.
Are you getting into the storm cellar?
No.
Do you have a storm cellar, Breida?
We have a basement. Is that the same thing?
Do you have a storm cellar?
Do you have an A&M?
No. I'm thinking about our basement. It's kind of still like got stone and stuff down there. So maybe it's kind of like a cellar.
Are you and Mike going to bring the hand crank radio down into the storm cellar tonight?
No.
With all the cats?
Do they even have tornadoes in Iowa? In yes. Ohio?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
There's tornadoes everywhere. I don't think, like, I guarantee that there isn't a state out there that hasn't had at least one tornado.
Yeah, but yes, Hawaii. Those are outliers.
That's actually true. God, I sound like I'm a nerd. I keep saying actually. One of our listeners, Tommy, they live in a city in Ohio that is known for tornadoes. Apparently, the entire city was wiped out off the face of the map by a tornado. And actually, the Indians who used to live in that area, I think they had a name for that city, kind of like that area where the city is. And it was something like, you know, something to do with tornadoes. So it's like renowned for tornadoes.
The Indian word for don't pitch your teepee here or to get blown away.
Don't live here because crazy winds or something. Yeah. I don't know. But Ohio, we have tornadoes and we have, you know, weird shit that comes in off the lake. And
so you're like the northern version of Texas.
No. High of 60 something on Monday is expected.
Oh, I said northern.
Yeah.
All right. Well, be safe, Brita. Don't.
Yeah, there's a giant thing coming in off the lake. If you want to look at my radar.
Giant thing. Run. It's a little frightening. It's gonna get you. It's coming right at you.
It'll be fine. Right
for us.
Godzilla.
I've closed the windows.
All right. Well, we'll call it quits.
Okay. Right. Well, have a good night, guys.
Good night, Internet.
Thanks for showing up.
All right. We'll be back next week.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Good night.